Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are in our third week of our series, Wandering the Wilderness. And throughout the series, we're looking at different people who wandered the actual wilderness. And the wilderness is a desolate, lonely, and harsh place to live. But when we talk about the wilderness, it's not just the physical place. And it can also be a time in our life that we are just truly struggling. A time where we feel like that we're alone, that we're dealing with the harshness of the world, and we really feel like there's not a lot of hope. And so last week, we looked at a champion of the faith who was named Moses. And Moses was a man that did some amazing things in the name of God. But what we looked at last week was the struggles that Moses had. Moses grew up adopted as an Egyptian royalty. And one day, he saw his fellow Israelite being abused. And Moses then decided, time to commit murder. And he did. And then he hid the body. And he thought, oh, I'm good to go. There's no problems here. But no, people saw him. So Moses decided he needs to run far away from his home, and he lives out in the wilderness for 40 years. God came to Moses into the desert in the form of a burning bush and gave Moses everything that he would need to succeed in his mission. But Moses was so defeated by his past sins, by the things that he has done wrong, he just kept pleading with God, please find someone else. He kept saying, I'm no good. Please use someone else. And God kept saying, here, you are equipped. Here, I am with you. And Moses still just said, I don't think I'm the right guy for that. But then God showed Moses that it's not about whether or not Moses is good enough, because we find out that God is good enough. That's what truly matters, because God is all powerful, and when God is with us in our weakness, we can see that God is strong and that God will shine through. And this week, we're going to be looking at one of my favorite guys in the Bible. His name is Elijah, and Elijah is a prophet that was sent by God, and that means that God has given a message to Elijah to give to God's people, the Israelites. And usually, these messages are not hugs and cuddles. You're doing great, buddy. I'm so excited for you. That's not the normal. Usually, these messages are God saying, hey, I'm all powerful. God is saying, hey, I'm still here. And then most importantly, it's God saying, hey, I'm not happy, okay? Things are not going the way they're supposed to. You're not doing what I've asked. And so that's exactly what happens in this story. And so many in the land have started worshiping false gods. And the big one that we can hear of is Baal, or Baal is what they call him. And you can read this from 1 Kings chapter 18. It's an amazing story. I'm just going to go over real quick the highlights of 1 Kings 18. So what happens is Elijah goes and he challenges the priests of Baal to a showdown. Their God versus the one true God. So they set up this altar and this sacrifice. And Elijah says, do not light this fire. Because what we're going to do is we're each going to call upon our God. And whichever one lights that altar on fire, that is the true God. And so he says, go ahead. You guys first. And so they start to shout and yell for Baal, and they start cutting themselves because Baal is God that supposedly responds to blood. And they go on for hours and hours and nothing happens. And then we get to see Elijah being kind of, you know, I don't know how to put it nicely. He's being a little bit of a jerk and he's like picking at him. And he's kind of like, hey, maybe your God's really far away, or maybe he's busy. I think you need to shout louder. I don't think he can hear you. And he knows all along. There is no Baal. He doesn't exist. There's no God that they're worshiping. And so he's kind of poking at them like, maybe you just need to do it more. And so he does all that, and they're trying harder, and they're trying to make it happen. And then finally Elijah says, okay, it's my turn. So he has them cover this altar in water to the point that it's just swimming in it. It's just overflowing. And Elijah prays to God, and he says, hey, I want you to show them that you are real, that you are here, that you are all powerful. And all of a sudden, fire comes down from the sky. It burns up the wood. It burns up the sacrifice that's there. It burns up all the water. And then it says it even burns up the stones and the soil. It was just kind of like, boom! God is awesome! You can't deny it. You've seen it with your own eyes. And so the people that were there, they fall to the ground and they're crying out, "The Lord, He is good! Obviously, He is real! A fireball just came from heaven and burned up this sacrifice here, and Baal doesn't even exist anymore." You want to talk about being on top of the world? Elijah had to be like, "This is amazing! I can't believe I get to be a part of this." Elijah was used by God in a powerful and amazing way. And then we see that hearts are changed towards God. That's what it's all about. Everything that we do is to glorify Him. It's to point people to God so they can say, "He is real. He is good. He is all powerful." And that's what happened. But as it is with a lot of people, when we have our highest of highs with God, the next step in our life that we experience can be the lowest of lows. We seem to be on the mountaintop with God, and then we are in the valley of the shadow of death. And that's exactly what happens here. So we're going to go ahead and turn to 1 Kings. It'll be 1 Kings 19, 1 through 9. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 9. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and there's a stack in the back there. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to read 1 Kings 19, 1 through 9. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night." So Elijah had just done amazing things for God. But serving God and following God, I'm going to just tell a truth here that you may not like. When you are all in for Him, you may have people that hate you. That's just the way it works. And Elijah has the attention of the queen, someone with a lot of power and influence, and she sends a messenger to Elijah saying, "You had all of my God's prophets put to death," and she says, "I swear it. No matter what comes to me, no matter what the gods are going to do to me, I want you to know by this time tomorrow, you are dead. I'm going to have you killed. It's over." And that's such a scary thought in itself. It's one thing if a random person says, "I'm going to make you pay," or even threatens your life and says, "I'm going to end you. You're going to have some worry in you." But Elijah here has angered someone with insurmountable riches and resources. They're a queen. The odds of your survival are getting worse and worse. And we see Elijah here is afraid. In verse 3, it says that he ran away. And where does he run? Verse 4 tells us he went a day's journey into the wilderness. Catching a theme? after traveling into this wilderness physically, we also can see something more important. We see that he's in the wilderness of his own mind. Elijah prays, and what does he say? He says, I want to die. He says to God, I have had enough. I am finished with this, God. Just take my life. He says, I'm no good. I'm just like the rest of the Israelites, the rest of my people. Where we have failed you, he says, I have failed you. And this part is very relatable. We all have had those moments of just complete defeat where something has gone wrong and we're not sure what to do. We're not sure about our future. We're left feeling hopeless and alone. And this is exactly what Elijah is going through. And what is even crazier is this is a man who knows God personally. You would look at Elijah and say, this guy has got it all together. Like he's being used by God. He's calling down fireballs from heaven and people's lives are being changed. He is a servant. This is someone who has seen God's promises. He's seen God do the impossible. But we know that Elijah's struggling. He's struggling right in here. But it's not that he's lost his faith. It's not that he's given up on God. Because we think, well, if I'm questioning things and we say that I'm done and I'm not sure what to do and you can't use me, Lord, well, I guess you're no longer a follower. No, that's not how that works. We can see that God himself is listening to Elijah and he's talking to him. So what we have is Elijah says, I don't know what's going on. I have no hope. Nothing is going the way I thought it would. He sees the danger surrounding him. He feels like this is it. It's over. So he just says, God, I'm praying to you because I don't have anything else. Just end it. End my pain and my suffering. And the most beautiful part of this is how God takes care of Elijah. God does not look at Elijah and just say, yeah, suck it up, buttercup. Okay, he doesn't do that. He's not saying, you'll be fine. He doesn't say, get over it, buddy. It's not a big deal. No, he doesn't call him names and he doesn't say, you're just being ridiculous. Obviously, I'm all powerful. Just, you should be fine. That's not what God is saying here. Actually, God gives Elijah some rest. God provides him with food and water. And then after he was provided with this food and water, he goes and he lays down again. It's not that he had the food and water and he's like, yes, now I'm ready. Everything's great and wonderful. No. He went and laid down again. But again, God was not belittling. Like, dude, I already did this once. Why? What are you doing? Get over it. Let's move on. No, that's not what happens. God knows that Elijah needs a minute. And then God gives him more food and water. And it's because God says, I have something that I need you to do. There's something I need you to do physically. You're going to have to go out. But again, Elijah here is in the wilderness of his mind. We see that his body is able. He gets up and goes. He travels for 40 days to Mount Horeb, where that is the mountain of God. But it's not that his mind is ready to go. You would think he's had 40 days to think about what's going on. He's had 40 days to go do his own thing and then meet God at the mountain of God. So when he gets there, everything should be great, right? No, that's not what happens at all. So we're going to keep reading 1 Kings 19. It'll be 9b through 14. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 14. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." So we start off with God asking Elijah a question. Why are you here? What are you doing? What's the point? Why did you come to this spot? And again, we get to see into Elijah's mind. Because he had God feed him, he gave him the strength, he made this 40-day journey to the mountain of God, and still, Elijah is focusing on all the negative and the horrible things that are happening around him. He says, "I have worked so hard for you, God. I have been all in. I have been zealous and have done amazing things in your name, God. And the Israelites, your people, your chosen people that should know you," he says, "they're still rejecting you. Worse, they're still killing your prophets, God." And he says, "Now I'm the last one, and they're trying to kill me too." What we notice here is that Elijah thinks he's alone. He feels like everything that he's done is a failure. He feels like everything that led to this point was meaningless and worthless, because look where we are now. And he has no clue what to do. And we see he's kind of just given up. Does that sound familiar? Sounds very familiar to me. I can personally relate to this. But what's really funny is when you keep reading these verses here, in verse 18, God says to him, "You're not alone. That may be how you feel." He says, "But you're not alone. You're not the only prophet left. You're not the only one worshiping me." In verse 18, God actually says, "There are 7,000 that have not turned from me. They're not worshiping Baal. I know you think you're the only one, but there's many, many more." But that's where his mind is. Elijah's mind is, "There's no hope. I'm done. It's over. It's just me." It's the wilderness of the mind. So God does something truly amazing for Elijah. Verse 11, God says, "Go stand by the mountain because God's going to pass by." And that's when chaos ensues. It says a powerful wind comes by and starts to smash the mountain to pieces. Okay, we're talking like tornado level. It had to be insane. It had to be really loud, and there was so much going on, and I imagine the sky was darkened as this wind came and ripped a mountain to pieces. It says, though, that God was not in the wind. And then an earthquake happens. You want to talk about some awesome power? Earthquakes are literally the firm foundation you're standing on. The ground that you are on is now moving, and you can do nothing about it. You are at the mercy of a shaking world. Your whole world is just going crazy, and it does cause a lot of destruction. And what do you do in an earthquake? You hold on, and you pray and hope for the best. It says, though, that God was not in the earthquake. Then after the earthquake, it says that it came a fire, and we don't get a description of this. And somebody once said to me, "I don't understand. Like, we had a wind that was tearing a mountain apart. You had an earthquake, which is your whole world just shaking. And then he had a fire, like, in a fire pit?" And I'm like, no. I don't imagine after all these awesome displays of power that all of a sudden a fire showed up. And he's like, "Cool, like a fire." No. It had to be a raging fire that came out of nowhere. It was probably swirling, and it was so hot and so bright you couldn't even look at it. We're talking fire. But even after that, it says that God was not in the fire. And then after all that was done, there was a whisper. And it says, in the whisper is where God was talking to Elijah. And there are a couple things that we can take away from this. First one is easy. God is all powerful. He can do it all. And sometimes God shows his power. God shows his awesomeness that we all can see. There is no denying it. Just like when Elijah was able to pray to God and then all of a sudden a fireball fell from heaven. Okay, that is some awesome power where everybody goes, I get it. You're real. I can't really deny in this moment. But not everything has to be a grandiose spectacle. God is not just awesome, powerful, and do these amazing things that we see. God is also there in the quiet. God is there when we're just being. God is with us when nothing is really happening. We all have those moments, right, where we're like, I felt God moving. I have seen miraculous things, and God was there, and I know it. And then what do we do? So how was today? It was all right. What happened? I don't know. Same old, same old. Do you feel like God was there with you? Yeah, sure. I don't know. I went to work, and I had dinner, and I took a nap. You know, okay. And we kind of just ignore those moments. And God's saying, no, 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 you don't understand. I'm not just there when fireballs are falling from heaven. He says, I'm there in the quiet. I'm there in the mundane. I'm there in the everyday. And then the other thing that we can take away from this is that God wants us to hear him, and it's really hard to do in this world. When life is like a violent wind, and it is loud, and it seems to be this whirlwind of destruction, we need to know that God is still there. When the ground in your life is completely shaking, and you feel helpless, and there's nothing that you can do, you need to know that God is there. When everything feels like it's just burning around you, I think one of my favorite memes that I've seen, it's a picture of a cartoon dog sitting in a chair and his world is on fire around him and he's sitting like this and it just says, it's fine, everything's fine. That's kind of what we do when this world is burning around us. We just go, it's fine. And God is saying, ignore all of that. Shut it all out. And he says, and listen for my voice. He says, I'm not always in the crazy chaos. And the chaos itself is distracting you. Listen for the whisper. God says this again in Psalms 46:10. He says, be still and know that I am God. If you are anything like me at all, that word be still is mean because I'm terrible at it. What do you mean be still? I'm like a hyperactive chipmunk, okay? Like I just got to keep going. And God's saying, take a minute, breathe, ignore everything else, take out the chaos, be still, and listen for my whisper. And I know that Elijah and I are not the only ones that end up in the wilderness of our own minds. When we may feel defeated and see no hope, what can we do in those times? We can do what Elijah did. He still went to God. For some reason, we're like, things are great. I'll cry out to God. Things are terrible. I'll cry out to God. But we don't think about it when, hey, I'm not doing well here. Well, we need to go to God too. We think, well, I just can't get my head on straight, so I'm not going to do that because I just feel like he doesn't need to hear my problems and this is all just in my head and these are things that I have to handle on my own. God's saying, no, come to me. We need to pray to him. Tell him your hurt. Tell him your fears. Tell him what is going on. That's exactly what Elijah did. He didn't say, well, I'm good now. Thanks, God. No, he said, this is horrible. I'm alone. They're trying to kill me. What's the point? And he prayed that to God. And God didn't just backhand him. Instead, God said, let me show you something. He says, I'm with you. And I need to say this line, and I'm probably going to say it twice. You are not a terrible follower of God because you're feeling defeated. You are not a terrible follower of God just because you're struggling in here. What we need to do is, in our hurt and desperation and feeling lost, go to him with the truth of what's going on. But something that we have to do is we have to drown out sometimes our own thoughts. Drown out the worry of the life that's going on. Ignore the chaos that's happening and listen for His calling. Go to Him and tell Him what's going on. But just as we see with Elijah, and I love that we end here on this verse in verse 14, because even after the chaos, even after the whisper, God says to him, "Why are you here now? What's your answer now?" And what does Elijah say? He says the same thing. It's not that it was fixed. It's not that he was better now. He didn't say, "Well, God showed me, so I'm good now. I have no problems." No. He came back with the exact same answer. "Wow, God, you're amazing. Wow, God, you're here. I can hear your whisper. This is awesome. Did you know I'm the only one here still?" He still had the struggle. But what's important is what he did. God says, "Okay, it's time to go." And even though through his struggle, Elijah says, "Okay, I'll get up and answer that call." And it's because Elijah knows no matter what he's struggling with, God is still with him. That God wants to use him and be with him. Even though Elijah still has his worries, even though he still is struggling with the wandering the wilderness in his mind, he said, "Yes, Lord, I'm still going to go." And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. Because we all have moments in the wilderness of our mind. We have our doubts and our feelings of defeat. And what I want to say to you is never, ever stop going to God. Never stop going to God. No matter how upset you are, no matter how hurt you are, no matter how angry you are, no matter how lost you are, never stop going to God. Keep talking to Him. God is not disappointed in the fact that you're struggling. No, He wants to help you through them. Keep going. Keep going to Him. Keep following Him. And then keep saying, "Yes, I'm going to keep going for You, Lord. Not because I see the worth in it. Not because I have my head on straight. But because I know that You are good." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for every moment You give us to learn more about You. Thank You for using imperfect people so we can read about it and go, "Yeah, that's me, Lord." They were right there in Your presence. They got to see things that we would just dream of seeing. And they still fell short. They still struggled because they're human. And I pray that we can take some comfort and peace in knowing that even as broken people, You're with us. You want us. And You want to use us. We love You. And we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.